good to be with y'all. Thank you so much for having us. It's really a joy to be here. I just heard you guys have a quarter system, so you're about to start like this week. Is that correct? So exciting what's ahead of you in the next semester, and hopefully we can share some helpful thoughts. But we first thought we want to introduce ourselves real quick. You heard I'm Robin. This is my wife Anya, and she will share a little bit about her story and also beginning with how we actually came here, like how we're connected.
Yes. Hi, I'm Anya. I grew up in Germany. We're both from Germany. And I work in college ministry for a little bit now, like this year, actually 20 years. And I know. And about 12 years ago, I moved with a friend to Bonn, Germany, to start a group. Like our group's called Connection. I'm wearing merch right here. I think Robin explains a little bit later what the logo actually means. So one of the things we loved at the beginning was help from friends, from especially from the States. So one of the groups that we had helping us starting in Bonn were actually led by Cody and Brittany in 2015, I think. So several years ago, so that's how we met. Maybe we met before in Chico, but that's really when we got to know each other, and they were great help and great joy to have in Bonn. But here a little bit about my story. I actually did not grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in East Germany, and if you kind of familiar a little bit with the history of Germany, it used to be two separate countries, then reunification in 89, 1989. And I grew up on the eastern side, which really has not a lot of Christian background. So we didn't have, growing up, I didn't have like a Bible at home. We didn't go to church, not even for Easter or Christmas. Like that really was nothing that my family followed. And so when I was in college, I actually met a friend and she told me she was a believer. And I was like, oh, that's so surprising. Like I didn't know that there were young people. Like I knew about churches, like as old buildings with what I assumed old people. But I never met anybody who was like young. And so I did have not have any knowledge about the Bible or faith. And so she really invited me to church. And I was like, sure, I come. Like, I don't know what that is. So I will come. And I did come. I did go to church with her. And it was very surprising how people like worship, kind of what we did now, like sing songs, talked about God. And I remember there was one moment where I thought, like, this is really strange. People were super friendly. And to a German, that's like suspicious because you think, like, what do you want to sell me? Like, what do you want to get me into? But I remember, like, there was a time of prayer. And of course, like, I didn't pray, I didn't know what that was. So I looked around and I saw my friend. And as she was praying, I thought, like, man, like, that's real for her. Like, there's something about faith that's real to her. And I wanted to know more about what that means. And so she invited me basically to come to Connection because there were more people like me who didn't know a lot and to join a small group. And I did. Learned a lot, had many meetings with Martha, who started Connection many years ago in 2000. And by that, really learned that like God has a good plan for me and that like I'm a sinner, but that I can have forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And that really appealed to me. But one thing that kind of kept me was my family. They didn't understand all of this. Like they were very suspicious and very worried that I get into like something that's negative or that could influence me in a negative way. But I really felt that like God was helping me to really overcome that and to trust Him that if I decide to follow Him and to live my life with Him, that He will also take care of dealing with my family and helping them to understand. And they are not believers yet, but they've definitely come steps towards understanding and learning more about faith. So that's kind of like my story, how I became a believer. And
Thank you. And as you can see on this picture, the blonde lady with the glasses, that's Martha, the founder of Connection. And to the right, you see two guys standing next to me. They're taller than me. And that's not just the physical part, but also the spiritual part. They've been pacesetters for me in terms of discovering faith, what it really means to follow Jesus in my everyday life. And they had a big impact. And I'll share a little bit about my story while I'm talking in a minute. So I got connected with Brian, with Cody and Brittany Bryan through having or doing an internship for 10 days in Chico in 2016. And the funny part was I was already in love with Anya. Back then, she was visiting a friend at the same time. So we had a work meeting at a cafe, and I liked her a lot. But it took 2 more years for us to get married. But that's a different story. But we got married in 2018. And so through a process, I got relocated to Bonn. And that's where we serve. There's a map, I think. That's the next. Yeah, this is about connection. And we have the vision to connect students with each other, really to build community for students, but also for those who are interested to build community with God. And there are 3 campuses. You see the top left one, that's where Martha is in Amsterdam. The right one, it's a little north, that's Brunswick or Braunschweig, if you speak German. That's where our colleague Alex is serving. And then we're on the left one in the very west of Germany. That's where Bonn is. Yeah, it's really fun to be with y'all. We have a couple of pictures and that will show a little bit. This is our staff team. And then the next slides, you see pictures what our group is doing. Like we do fun events and just trying to build that community I just mentioned. And but then also I wanted to share a little bit. And part of that is my story, but then also how you, what's really the core, what we believe and what we do. If you look at the logo, there's 2 axes that might be probably 2 slides back. And there, maybe one more. Oh. Yeah. Nope. Oh, that would work. Yeah, we have the logo right there. Thank you. Yeah, you see the 2 little people? And they're holding hands, so that's a community part. But then also, if you look through it sideways, it's a cross. So, and that represents that Jesus is the central person in our lives. And I just talk about that now on the next couple of slides, what that means. There's a great illustration I want to share with you. And the overall topic I chose was how you can be engaged in God's mission or action globally and locally. But the first part is really that we all come from a place where we experience that our world is broken. When I was a student, I was the first time in my life where I was on my own, far from my parents' place. I was living in my one-room apartment, so living by myself, at the freedom to do what I want to do. And so that was great, right? But it was not for long, I think a year in my studies, that I ended up being really broken. And that was because of 2 main things. I think one was I really felt a strong lack of purpose in my life. I always wanted to become a social worker. I was studying social work. And that was good. I enjoyed doing that. But I felt there has to be something more in life and what my life is leading up to. And the same time, I got myself a lot entangled into different things and bad habits, and that really pushed me down. And I tried to get out of them and do better and become a better person, and it didn't work. It was extremely frustrating, and I got really depressed. And I just felt this strong spiritual darkness in my soul. Like when Frodo is saying, "I'm naked in the darkness, there's nothing between me and the veil." I think that's the literal. I'm a Lord of the Rings fan, as you can tell. But you know, I could really understand what he's talking about. I could understand, I could relate. And I don't know how that is for you, but that really showed me, okay, in my, not just in the general world, there are things that can make me depressed and the world is broken, but then also in my personal life. And what really was a help was one of those guys you saw before in the pictures, Daniel. He started just... we got connected through an event and just started talking to me, and we didn't know each other much. And he was like, oh, do you want to grab a coffee one time? And I was like, sure, why not? And somehow that was a person I could be really open with and really shared from my heart. That was the only person that really knew what was going on in my life. At the same time, he was someone who had a very integral way of living his spiritual life. Like he was believing in God. He was really trying to apply what's in the Bible to his life, but on a very humble and loving way. And so I think that gave a lot of openness to talk more with him. And we started to reading through the book of Romans. And I never understood it much before, but it really helped me to understand that if Jesus died for my sin, I can really be forgiven. And it's not just for like a big amount of people, like anonymously, but not me, but really me as well. And that took about like 6 months, and then I got it. And I was like walking up to him like this one day. We were meeting in a cafe like every week. And I'm like, Daniel, I got it. And he's like, what? And so, yeah, that was a fun moment. I still like looking back to. And maybe you can relate. Maybe definitely your story going to be different in some ways. But unfortunately, in all of our stories, there's moments where we experience that brokenness. And people around us experience the same brokenness. And so the little dots on the right show different ways how we try to escape from that. And it can be drugs. It can be getting as much fun as I want out of this life. This can be to try to be the smartest person in the room. And I tried a couple of those things and didn't work. I'm not smart enough. A verse in Romans 3:10-12a says, "And as it's written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside." And that might be a little hard, but as I'm reading through the Old Testament, I get a better understanding that if you just think about it for 1 second, like there's a God of the universe. If he created that universe, how big is that God? And how ultimately powerful and how ultimately holy is that being? And of course, like, we fall short to that. And if we go to the next slide, we hear that that being is love. And John 3:16a, it says, "For God so loved the world." So the good news is God loved the world. God created the world. This heart represents that God wanted the world and us to live in harmony, with harmony with him and harmony with each other. And that our deepest longing, our deepest brokenness is not coming that our life circumstances are not great, that we might have experienced sicknesses or pain through things we experienced, but really it means the deepest brokenness comes from having a broken relationship with God. But the great news of the gospel is, and that's the next slide, that Jesus came. That we believe as Christians that Jesus came, he's God, and he came on this earth to show us as a human what it means to live in relationship with the Father, but then also ultimately dying for us at the cross. So the arrow down is dying at the cross, but then he was resurrected on the third day. Because that was God's master plan to reconcile us with him. Because there has to be someone who makes the brokenness, who fix it. And, you know, we cannot just patch it in any way. It really needs more. And if you read through the Old Testament, like, you understand, like, it has to do with, like, a sacrifice in place for someone. And Jesus is that sacrifice. He reconciles us with God. That's the second part of John 3:16, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So that's God's promise to you. If you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. And that really shook my world to understand it's just believing in Jesus. I don't have to perform. I don't have to figure it out. I just trust in Jesus. And he started in the depth of my heart a little bit of hope, a little bit of trust, and I don't feel spiritual darkness anymore in my life. I I'm tired. I'm sometimes frustrated, and you know, I'm not the best person. But I don't feel like that spiritual darkness anymore. I live in peace. I enjoy what we do. I'm very, very thankful and grateful for what God has done. And this is something. If you have not considered it to take steps with Jesus, I want to invite you tonight to just start that. Maybe talk to Cody or some others of the staff or leaders. If you want to figure out more, I think that it says on the connection card, maybe you want to write it down right now and say, hey, I want to know more what it means about following God. You know, you can start any day. God loves you. This is the full circle. God loved the world. We ran away in the brokenness. But if we will repent to God, believe in Jesus, we have that eternal life and live in that loving relationship. There's one level missing, and that is, well, if we have that eternal life in Jesus, why don't we just go to heaven directly? That would be much better, right? But the part of the master plan God had was that he was making us, it's not to, it's into, that's my English, making us into messengers of his love. It's 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, starting at 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So that's the next step. If you make the step and follow God, God in his master plan once invites you to be part of that and help others to be connected with him, to be an ambassador, someone who's really shining for, you know, what the message is about. And reconciliation is the message, that people can get reconciled with Jesus. And I want to share four steps how you can engage in that and helping people, like making a difference in their lives. And the first the first verse I have here is what is the mission about? And Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth hath been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So really the idea is, how can we help people is to start becoming disciples. Disciple is just a term in the New Testament, someone who follows someone, okay? And the idea is not that someone is following me. That can only help so much, and maybe some things I have figured out, but that's not that many. So really what it's about is that through my life, through God's grace in my life, helping students on our campus to, if they want to, like really get to know God more and start following Jesus. And so the four steps is, the first is you pray. Pray, and you can pray big. You know, God is the God of the universe. You can pray big. It doesn't mean he gives you everything you want. That would not be good. He does much bigger things than that. In Mark 11, 22 to 24, he says, Jesus answered them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. In a greater context, it's also about like doing what Jesus wants us to do and really working together in God's plan. And because God knows the best stuff. He knows what's the best stuff for everyone. And so we can trust him. And if we have faith in God, we can pray boldly. We can pray big because we know God's going to make it, even if I don't see any way, like that this is going to come to pass. But it will come to pass because that's what he says. If that's his will, he's going to do it. But we have to ask him to see it come. And so the first step for you, if you want to be part of that, pray big. Pray that if you have, like Anya just shared about her family, and we pray. We pray that they all get to know Christ. We cannot do that. Like, how? Like, we cannot convince anyone. But, you know, God can work in their hearts and really show him how much he loves them. The second part, or second step, is you can support financially. That might be a little weird for students, right? Because you don't, I don't know how it's here, but students in Germany at least don't have that much money. And I'm not talking about like you have to do, like it's not like a pressure thing. It's really more a thing I found really, really helpful for me to grow in generosity, like to understand a biblical principle of generosity and really praying about where do I want to be involved in and what do I really see God wanting to move forward and being a part of that. That's for me joy. And what I, the second thing I found is if you start giving to a good cause from a free will, and that's what the verse also says, it talks about the readiness in 2 Corinthians 9. And he also talks about a willing gift. So he's not talking about they have to do something. He just talks about a willing gift, okay? So it's what I want to give that if I, with the little I have, start giving really my heart for what God can do and for his kingdom grows much more even before my bank account does. And you just see it a lot of times then, if you have more money later, you know, it really, the same principle will apply. And if you train that principle, even now, you can have that joy already. And it will also help you to apply it later in a different stage of life. The third is, you can mobilize faithfully. And there's an example in the Bible from Acts 11, 21 to 26. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. What is he talking about? He's talking in Acts, it's about the story how really Christianity got started. You know, you can look at someone's life, you can ask your friends or your leaders the questions, hey, how did you become a Christian? And you can ask them, how helped you? Like, who helped you to become a Christian? And who helped that person? And you can trace it back, like, I don't know, maybe 3-4 people. I don't know. Not super long for me. But what we don't know the chain of that gospel, but we know where it all started. And that's really Jesus with the disciples. And the disciples were faithful men and women that went out and really shared their life with others in a way that really, like the barbarian Germans started to become a Christian nation, which is still astonishing to me. Like, I like history, so really looking at that, it's just crazy how really Christianity spread in this vibrant movement in this first centuries. They had no buildings, they didn't have any political power for a couple of hundred years. Even more, they had a lot of persecution. That wasn't fancy to be Christian. It was weird, but they were. It was so impactful, and God used it that much that a lot of people really joined that movement. And the same thing happens here at the very beginning in Antioch. That was a city like in that Middle Eastern part. And Jerusalem heard about it, and so they sent people. And Barnabas is one of those. And Barnabas was a guy who really helped Saul. His Greek name is Paul, and so he was a very, very influential guy in the Christian movement. He started a lot of churches, wrote like a big part of the New Testament, actually, through his letters. And Barnabas, he just was a faithful guy. And I think this is a step for you. Like, if you want to be like, yeah, I want to be part of that. I'm not sure if I can go to some place and, you know, help someone to start, but you can be faithfully here, faithful in like plugging into the ministry, learning, keep growing in your walk with God, but then also helping others maybe to take some steps and maybe sending out someone one day to a place that if they have a heart, really to go to a place where never, ever anyone heard the gospel before. Or, you know, maybe in Germany, you know, people really don't know what the gospel is about. And so the fourth step will lead to that part. If God put that on your heart, you can look for ways and keep praying about, like, where's the place where I can go? Where's something I can go and can make disciples? That can be short-term, long-term. I think that'd be a good thing if you really want to look into that to talk to your leaders about. I think they can give you good ideas. Maybe sometimes also a good step to start where you are in this moment right now and then go, like, you know, to a different country maybe. Because it is a culture shock to go to Europe even. I know that from a good friend of mine. But let's go through that. Yeah, that's we do. Like, we did a trip to Lisbon, but maybe one more. Yeah, that's where people came to us. And then on the next slide, I think there's the applications for tonight. So on those applications, like the fifth. Oh, why? It's all the first application. So you can only pick one. Okay, you only can pick one application. It used to be 1 to 5. So you can only pick one. I'm a big fan of just having one. Just pray about what's the most important for you to take away tonight. Maybe it's to make the decision for Christ. Maybe it's something you're praying about for a while in your heart, and maybe that's what you want to do, and figure out what it means to follow Christ or to keep following Christ, take the next steps. Maybe you want to pray and ask what God wants to do and use your life also to help others move forward. I really like reading biographies. There's people who have really impacted like countries and societies for the good. Adoniram Judson is an American missionary that I'm really inspired by. The fourth is to participate, really becoming a part of ministry, serve nationally or overseas too. And the fifth is maybe there's one person you feel like, oh, that could be really encouraging to them to be connected to this community. I think having the semester start coming up, you know, would that be fun to have someone who's like being like including you? Maybe there is someone in this group for you, why you came here tonight. I hope so. There's some people that would, you know, have a friendly smile, give you a name tag. Thank you for my name tag, by the way. And maybe you can be that person for other people.